Welcome into Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. I'm Dr. Tim Clinton.
And I'm Dr. Zach Clinton, and together we're your hosts. Thank you for joining us.
If you enjoyed today's program and you feel called to help us equip the church to provide mental health care and to help those in need, visit our foundation at aaccfoundation.org. That's aaccfoundation.org. Hey, there you're going to find a little bit more about the impact we're having in local communities to strengthen families and individuals. We're on a mission to help equip people everywhere to improve their relationship with God and the ones they love.
We'd love for you to be a part of our family. Let's bring a message of hope and encouragement to today's generations. Your gift ensures that this program and your station remain on the air. And on today's program, my dad, Dr. Tim Clinton, and I have a great guest. So let's get started.
Today's program features my son, Dr. Zach Clinton, who recently sat down with a special ministry friend, Ben Fuller. Ben's a popular country music artist who has turned his platform to move people with music into a bigger purpose, to save men and to bring people to Christ. He has a prison ministry that's truly amazing. Can't wait for you to hear their conversation, so let's dive in right now. Here's Zach.
We're so excited, man. Thomas Herr Baptist Church, Lynchburg, Virginia. We got 5,000 guys that are going to be packing out the sanctuary tonight. And they're hungry, man. There's a hunger for holiness. Every year these guys come in and God just does something special. He moves in powerful ways, Ben. And I'm expecting of what he got in store tonight. You're about to take the stage this evening and you're just going to lead us in a night of worship. Speak to why you think nights like this, especially for men, are so important for such a time as this.
I mean, we were talking earlier about surrounding yourself with people who hold you accountable. My thing has just been surrounding myself with people who love Jesus more than me. And so I'm just honored to be in this place tonight and to just call on his name. I think one of the things that I've realized in this industry, the Christian industry can be, music industry can be so weird because like, you know, oh, Ben Fuller or Brandon Lake or Cody Carnes or, you know, all those things. But it's like, man, we all love Jesus so very much. And I think the thing is what I'm faced with is like John the Baptist had to, how do I decrease as Jesus increases, and how do I portray that as the lights get brighter and the stages get bigger? Like, I've never sung in front of 5,000 men before in my life. You know, like, this is an amazing deal and can be intimidating, but what I've realized is, like, I've got nothing special to say. I've got nothing to prove either, and I don't have to impress a single person here tonight, and I think that that has made me so terrified of reverence and a fear of the Lord to know that I step foot on that stage prepared, right? We have the songs prepared. We have our hearts prepared. I've been reading scripture, but it's like, Lord, I don't know what you're going to do here tonight, but I need you to speak and sing through me because I don't know. I don't know what to say. I don't know what to even do. Would you be so kind to just do that for me? And I step foot on stage and the guys step foot on stage and Holy Spirit, come, and that's all we're going to do tonight is just ask him to sing and play through us. And so freedom, there's freedom in the house of that.
What's funny is, you know, I'm going to open up tonight, and we're going to talk about Galatians 5:1. It's for freedom that Christ has set us free. Let us stand firm them and not be burdened again by a yoke of slavery, right? This idea that we have anything to offer. Like you said, we have to get out of God's way. But there's three words in Scripture, Ben, that really caught my attention. In the book of Colossians, Paul is writing to the church of Colossae, and he finishes that letter by saying, remember my chains. Remember my chains. In other words, like, you don't have to feel sorry for me. I'm not excusing my behavior or anything like that. But by the grace of God, I'm no longer now who I once was. But that is only because of his grace. And so for you, and I look at you and I see the humility and I see what God is doing in it through your life. You're going God behind bars. You're going into prisons. You're doing all of these events. You're singing, you're worshiping. Speak to just what have you found freedom to be in your own life?
Oh, oh Lord, remember me. Oh, oh Lord, remember me. Because when these chains get broken and they set my body free, oh, oh, Lord, remember me. I just the more I dig in, the more I open the word, the more I get after it, the more testimonies, the more blood of the Lamb and the word of you guys. I mean, just the encouragement. It's like, I can't get enough. And as somebody who lived 14 and a half years hiding in plain sight, broken on the inside, messed up, I'd never been higher. Like, the more that I'm surrounded by people who love Jesus, the more that I'm in the Spirit, the more that I'm, like, I can't even wait for tonight, but I can't get enough. And I know that my life has been changed without a doubt, you know, that I was chained, that I spent so many years keeping it together on the outside, or so everybody thought, and I was just dying inside. And I've been meeting so many men that are, you know, and they're like, what do you got that I don't, you know? And I'm meeting these men like Brian Welch, you know, that have had millions of dollars and millions of streams and success and all the things in the world, and they still are broken. Like, praise God that I know them personally, but I'm here to share the story of, like, you know, that's not the end all be, like, you know what I mean? As we chase these things that try to fill us up and make us something bigger or better, is that's nothing, you know? And so the verse that comes to mind to sum that up is John 6, verse 6, 8, to whom else shall we go? And I've tried all the things and run to all the places, you know? And I truly believe that I should have ended up, you know, my best friend is dead from an overdose. And I should have, I mean, it could have been me, but I should have ended up in prison so many different times, you know, again and again. And God cut me on the outside so he could send me in and, you know, show me that, but also show me that his Spirit knows no boundaries and there's no bars or walls or fences that he can't get through or get over, you know? And so it's like done nothing but encourage me as I walk, as things get difficult. It's like, okay, remember that guy that you met on the inside. And his life was changed. He's like, this is just another fence, another wall, another bar, but he can go through it. You know, maybe you can't, but he can. So, yeah, grateful. It's emotional, really. I mean, just thinking about all the things and the times. And this is 5.5 years for me.
Yeah.
It's like, what's another 5.5 going to be? I don't even know. I mean, my mind is blown more than you could ask, think, or imagine. I mean, there's all these things in the Bible I'm reading, and I'm going, yep, well, that's true, too. Yep, that came true. Yeah, that's for real. That just happened last week.
Come on.
I mean, it's unbelievable. And so the more I dig in, the more I read, the more I see, you know, and I'm watching it come to pass.
And I think when we have a past, when we, you know, we all have a past. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Yes. We all have things in our lives that we weren't proud of, that we were ashamed of. Yep. But then Romans 8 talks about now there is no, therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. When I think about you, I think about some of your songs you've begun to write. I think of that song, Who I Am. And just speak to, like, the identity factor that you have grown into, because you're not just this guy who God was disappointed in. You're a guy who God delights in, Ben. Speak to that.
Thanks for saying that. I, you know, until recently, and I'm so thankful that you just said that word, identity. That's the word that I've been hearing. On this last tour, so I wrote that song, you know, almost 4 years ago, 3.5 years ago, and the Lord just gave it, and it was the fastest, most amazing, beautiful thing. We prayed. We always pray before a song, right? And we prayed, and all of a sudden, it was just, I'm a child of the Most High God. Most High God's for me. And I was like, I don't really know what that is and what that. And I remember David Spencer was playing. He started on the piano, and he said, dude, write that down. Write it down. You know, and so I started scribbling it down, and the song just came. But it wasn't until, and I've sung that song so many times I've forgotten how many times I've sung it. On the If I Got Jesus tour that I was just on this past fall, we were up north, and I remember it was right towards the beginning of the tour. He told me it was the most incredible thing, but he said to me while I was singing that song, I got to that point, I'm a child of the Most High God, and the Most High God is for me, and all of a sudden it hit me, wait a minute. He was telling me my identity the whole time. He gave me that song as a new believer. No, I'm no longer a drug addict. I'm no longer a womanizer. Whoa, I'm no longer an alcoholic. wait a minute. No, I'm a child of the Most High God, and He is for me. He's called me His own. He's called me beloved. I'm yours, Lord? What? Like, you love me that much? You're calling me that? You told me that. So I could sing that over myself and remind everybody else that they are too. I had this like insane moment on stage, and I just like fell to my knees. I remember it being so emotional, so powerful, of being like, I've sung this song how many times? And it just finally clicked. Like, sometimes it takes a while.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Sometimes we're stubborn men. I mean, oh my God, I am like so stubborn in my ways. And it's amazing how it took that many years of singing that song over and over for finally to be in a vulnerable, whatever it was, the Lord just decided to make it in my mind. And I went, oh my gosh, the whole time my identity is not found in anyone but you. So yeah, thank you for saying that, because it's been burning on my heart, honestly, like the identity. And that's what I'm going to sing over these men tonight, over myself tonight.
Yes.
And as we talked about, like, I know I was mentioning earlier about just worship and the Christian music industry and how that can be weird sometimes, of like, this is my worship to my Savior,
yes,
who saved my life.
Exactly.
And everybody's just around to witness it.
Right.
And it's weird sometimes.
Right. It's not a performance.
Like, exactly. And that's what I think is such a struggle at times, of being like, because I could easily, is my hair all right?
Right.
Is my, you know, is my look all right? Is my fit good? Is my whatever it is? No, none of that even matters. I'm screaming and crying my eyes out to my Savior who saved my life, who pulled the gun from my mouth, who pulled the drugs from my nose.
Mm.
Hallelujah. I don't care what anybody thinks, or if even anybody's around. Right? I mean, that's just what's crazy. So why do I crave a bigger platform?
Yes.
So why do I want more people to know? So why do I, you know, so it's like, Lord, help me. And that's just going to be my prayer tonight before we go out. Is, Lord, that I just got asked this last night by this young guy. It was like, you ever get nervous before you go out on stage? I said, yeah. You want to know what I get most nervous about? He said, what's that? That I don't get out of the way. That Ben Fuller's up on stage. Mark Hall told me once from Casting Crowns, I'll never forget it. He said, Holy Spirit came up behind me once and tapped me on the shoulder and says, you ready? And Mark said, nah, I got tonight. I'm feeling good. He said it was the worst night of his life on stage. Never do it again. And he said, that's just going to be the advice I'm going to give you. Holy Spirit says, you ready? You say, yes, sir. I am ready.
Yes.
I'm ready.
What this reminds me of is, this is not just a morning by morning thing, right? This is a moment by moment, not a day by day, but decision by decision.
That's a word.
Choice to submit and surrender to the Lord and His leadership and His guidance over your life. And I think of that process of sanctification that you mentioned, right? Like, let's just be real. Like, walking out our faith is hard.
Yeah, it is.
It's difficult.
Yeah.
It's a journey.
Yeah.
It's a process, right? Yeah. People stumble left and right. We all do.
Yeah.
But it's this idea that we're going to keep on getting back up. We're going to keep confessing. We're going to keep, in a sense, pressing in and leaning into the Lord. And again, His guidance of His Spirit over us. And I think for you, another song other than, you know, Who I Am is this new song, Turn. I saw an interview with K Love, and you have a story behind that song where it was like so easy, Ben, for you to look back to what once was, to old ways, to old patterns, to old thought processes.
Yeah.
But you had to fight to keep the momentum that God was building. Speak to that.
Yeah. You know, you say yes to Jesus, praise God. You get smacked on the behind with the Bible and sent out the door, praise God. But it was lonely when I gave my life to the Lord, and it got hard. All my friends, my other friends left, my friends that I'd had, you know, it was just the Lord, but praise God that He put new people in my life, right, to remind me, but not to say that it's still not difficult, because I wanted to go back to my old ways, to the old Ben, to sleeping around, to doing whatever I wanted to do when I wasn't convicted about anything. And I was walking this relationship out in a godly way, and we were trying, we would stumble, and we'd get back up and put our eyes back on the Lord and follow. And I just remember, like, getting to a point of, like, okay, like, are we going to get married? I think so. This is, I think I really wanted it so badly, you know? I was like, I want to get married. I want kids. I want a family. I want to do this thing. Lord, right? Like, I'm doing this thing. And when she said, I think God has other plans for us, all of a sudden, my heart sank. And it was like all those hopes and dreams that I had kind of just all fell apart. And I was like, wait a minute, we've been trying to do this thing godly. Wait a minute, Lord, where are you? What are you doing? I've been surrendering. I've been trying to follow you best I can. What happened? Did I do something wrong? Was I bad? And it fell apart. And when I got in my truck that night to leave, it was on my heart to go to a strip club. It was on my heart to go to the first place that sold beer. The Lord put a holy block underneath my gas pedal of my truck. I couldn't do more than 50 miles an hour down Interstate 65. And he brought me to an empty parking lot, not a strip club. And out I fall from my truck. He put it in park for me and opened the door too. And I fell down on the January pavement. I just remember screaming and crying, asking why. And he reminded me of that song. I've got a song called If I Got Jesus. Anyway, you can take the world away from me, but I'll be okay. If I got Jesus, I got it all. And I picked myself up off the pavement, and I remember feeling like, okay, fine. But I was still a man, because I'm like, you know what? I'm not going back to that stuff. You're right. But I'm going to run. And I pulled a Jonah, and I ran for all weekend long. Different states, different towns. I just drove and I drove and I drove, right? I don't know if you guys remember the story of Jonah and what happened when he ran. Anyway, I had a song right on. It was like a Monday or Tuesday morning. When I was done running for the 3 days that I ran, Lord delivered me all the way back to Nashville, Tennessee, and walked me right into a little studio owned by Jacob Suter. And I remember sitting there in the seat, and in walks a man named Ethan Hulse, who was Songwriter of the Year last year. And I said, I'm not talking about it. I'm not talking to myself. I'm not talking about nothing happened this weekend. I'm not talking about nothing. I don't want to. We're just going to write a song. I'm just going to write a song about God. First words out of one of their mouths was, how was your weekend? And I was on the floor as fast as you could just, and I'm crying, and I'm like, I had nowhere to turn but Jesus. And all of a sudden, it's like, turn, turn, and nowhere to turn but Jesus, turn, turn. You were turning everywhere. You wanted to turn here. You wanted to turn to the bottle. Wanted to go to the bar. Whew. And the song just wrote itself. It was the most beautiful thing ever. And it got to the point of, like, can we open a song with I wanted to turn to the bottle. I even drove past the bar, but I found out I'm not as strong as I thought, but that's when I learned that you are. And there were so many folks that were like, you gotta change it. You know, like, we should change the lyrics. We need to go a little easier. There's people that are listening to this song that it could kind of, I don't know, set off maybe, or maybe make them think about their past or whatever that is, or maybe kind of trigger them on certain things. So we don't wanna do that. And lo and behold, it's just funny because every single night show, whatever you want to call it, that ministry event that I've been to, I've been running into these people that are like, my brother's an addict, my mom is addicted, my uncle's dealing with this, my cousin's a sex addict, whatever it is, all these things have been coming. And it's just like, man, why not just say it? And so I'm so grateful. And it was so funny. It was just like, yeah, right, K-Love won't pick this song up. And in the first 2 weeks of it being sent to radio, I can't even believe that Providence sent it to radio, but they did. Praise God. Charles Van Dyke sent it to radio. And Kayla, like, the Light FM, due to the events in Asheville, North Carolina, they were one of the first ones to pick the song up. I think the first one to pick the song up after the floods of Helene. And they said, and I, all of a sudden, Providence gets a phone call and was just like, why are they playing this song on the radio? Like, what is going on? Like, did you hear the Light FM's playing this song? He's like, yeah, we have nowhere to turn but Jesus. So just to see, like, how applicable that song has been in certain scenarios, and not just personally for me, it was, I wanted to turn to the bottle. I wanted to go to the bar, you know? And so to know that, like, anyway, a man can plan in his heart, but only God determines his steps. It's like just being obedient to that. Anyway, I'm just trying to be obedient to what the Lord has put on my heart for lyrics. What happened was I wanted to go there.
When we don't know what to do, we can always know where to turn. Wow. Ben, as we close our time together today, I'm just thinking about, I always leave the door open for our guests to share just the pressing word that God has placed on their heart for such a time as this. But I'm thinking about the listener who might be discouraged, mm-hmm. might be disappointed, might not know where to turn, might feel completely lost in life. What's just the final word of hope, encouragement, and motivation you want to leave that person with today?
I'm just going to pray. Please. Can I pray?
Please do.
Yeah. Lord, Father, we just thank you. Thank you for this day. We thank you for this time. Thank you for my voice. I just thank you for the new heart that you've put inside my chest. Lord, thank you for the brokenness. Thank you for the things that you've walked me through, that you've held my hand through. And I pray and I ask for the black sheep who's listening, for the one that's run, for the one that's still running. Father, I just ask that you would take their hand and you would turn them around and that you would lead them back home, because they might have jumped a few fences or run into another pasture. It doesn't matter how far they've gone. Father, you know exactly where they are. So I just ask that you'd lead them home, just like you did for me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Ben Fuller, our friend, hey, I cannot thank you enough for your time, your availability. I can't wait to see what God does tonight in and through you, my friend. Thank you for being here.
Amen. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. If you enjoyed today's broadcast and want to help equip the church to provide Christian mental health care, visit aaccfoundation.org. Your donation ensures this program and your station stay on the air. On behalf of our co-hosts, Dr. Tim Clinton and his son, Zach, this is Jim Kress. We look forward to having you with us again next time. May God bless you.
This is Dr. Shawnee Anderson, and I'm a licensed clinical psychologist who's been in practice for over 30 years. In my clinical experience, one of the hardest parts for someone struggling with their mental health is the very first step, the just reaching out for help part. I understand that asking for help is hard, but finding that help shouldn't be. At Christian Care Connect, the mission is to make it easier to find a Christian clinician or coach who is compatible with you, someone you feel comfortable with, who shares your faith and values. Whether you're walking through grief, battling anxiety or depression, or facing any other of life's challenges, excellent mental health care providers are here to come alongside you with support that is both clinically excellent and distinctly Christian. If you or someone you know is looking for help and healing, we invite you to take that next step today. Go to ChristianCareConnect.com to find a provider within 100 miles of you. For further support or questions, you can email us at contact@ChristianCareConnect.com. A new way to start your journey to wellness and peace of mind.
This is Dr. Tim Clinton, President of the American Association of Christian Counselors, with your Mental Health Minute. Time magazine reported that families who regularly share meals together have kids who are less likely to smoke, drink, use drugs, get depressed, develop eating disorders, or even consider suicide. And here's the kicker. They're also more likely to do better in school, delay sexual activity, eat their vegetables, and hey, they might even know which fork to use. Now, this might surprise you, but the age group that benefits most? Teens. One national study found that those teens who ate with their families three times a week or less wish they had done so more often. That's because in the end, it's not about food, it's about time. It's about you, mom and dad, being present, sharing, shaping hearts. How often should you eat together? As much as possible. Why? Because the family that eats together stays together. This has been your Mental Health Minute. I'm Dr. Tim Clinton, president of the American Association of Christian Counselors and host of Life, Love, Faith, and Family. To learn more, go to aacc.net.
Don't miss the 2026 AACC Faith and Flourishing Mega National Conference, with a special emphasis on neuroscience and brain health. Coming to the Lowe's Arlington Hotel in Arlington, Texas in September 2026. Featuring world-leading and dynamic experts like Daniel Amen, George Barna, Jack Graham, Sungyung Tan, Sharon May, Kurt Thompson, Jennifer Ellers, Shawnee Anderson, Zach Clinton, Tim Clinton, and more. Join counselors, psychologists, marriage and family therapists, pastors, ministry leaders, and coaches from around the world. Register now for the best savings at nationalaacc.com. That's nationalaacc.com. The 2026 AACC Faith and Flourishing Mega National Conference.
Do people ever come to you asking for help, maybe hope, How about prayer? Do you ever wish you understood the issues better that people are wrestling with? Or how about how to use the Bible more effectively in caring for people? If so, I'd love to get a copy of our Care and Counsel Bible in your hands, featuring 116 topics written by some of the world's best mental health and ministry experts. I think you'll love it. Topics like discouragement, abuse, depression, divorce, anxiety, abortion, and more. So you can learn more about these issues and how to use the Bible more effectively, how to share passages of Scripture with others, maybe even yourself, as you're sitting down over a cup of coffee. You know what I love most about this Bible is that it's so easy to use. You can find right up front an index with subjects, key passages of Scripture, personality profiles, and so much more to go to. So you can use the Bible more effectively in caring for other people. The Care and Counsel Bible right now is retailing for $85. We're going to make it available to you for just $49.99 plus shipping. I think you're going to love it. Hey, for more information about how you can get this Bible right now, go to careandcounsel.com. That's careandcounsel.com.